The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Blaze Radio Network held hostage. Day 21.
Here's your Roku update.
We've scoured news agencies from around the world to find the most profound headlines.
If you are listening to the Morning Blaze, you're not listening on Roku. It's still not working.
However, it's still not working.
Still not working. We have technicians somewhere around the clock. There's a technician awake.
Yes, they're standing around the clock, not working.
Looking at it.
Looking at the clock.
But we will keep you posted as a service to our listeners.
Keep them posted through Roku?
No.
Okay.
We'll have to use a different app. It is, however, National Selfie Day, or as I like to call it, Downfall of the Nation Day.
I call that Normal Day.
Narcissist Day.
Take selfies every day.
I'm so pretty.
I don't understand these days are like, it's happening all the time. Why do you need a day for it?
Look at me day.
Okay.
Is that what you call it?
I am the chat day. And don't forget to use National Selfie Day as your hashtag and share those selfies on social media. Breaking news. Well, that didn't work out so well, did it? Democrats in Georgia have a really bad hangover this morning, trying to forget that party that really wasn't last night, was it?
Millions of dollars.
No, there was parties. There was party.
Yeah.
Because they think they won, according to John Ossoff.
Yeah. Yeah. Karen Handel did win the 6th Congressional District. The most money ever spent on that House race in history. 50 really, really large from both sides. And a referendum on Trump. No, it wasn't a referendum.
Wow.
No, we were just kidding about the referendum thing.
And there may be a referendum. This was not it.
No.
Stop pretending like it's CNN.
Same speech. Great picture at the Blaze. When you look at the...
Is it up there?
The guy who came CNN in second. Just the two headshots. The winner and the loser side by side.
It was a good picture? Those are good pictures.
He looks like somebody just kicked him in the chin.
In the nards.
Mm-hmm. Or there. Moving on.
Wait, do you think he was going, honey, I got this.
Uh-huh. Alicia.
Alicia, is that his wife?
Yeah.
I think I got this.
You know how much money we spent? We've got this.
I got this.
We got the celebrities. You know, mm-hmm. We just got invited to somebody's house.
I'm up against a woman.
And I don't even live there, so.
Yeah.
By the way, we still have that hashtag Ossoff t-shirt slogans. I put up one, Putin hacked my campaign.
Oh, you know that's coming.
Mm-hmm. Vote for Pedro, which, by the way, Rants Out Loud also had a little meme of it, too, a little gif. Soros is my homeboy from Rants Out Loud. Stephen English, hashtag Ossoff t-shirt slogans. Ossoff just as successful as Hillary. So there you go.
Hillary 2.0. Police in St. Louis discovered loads of stolen pink lingerie in a man's trunk.
How would I know anything about that? I wouldn't know anything about that. Why would I know anything about it?
And by trunk, I mean the trunk of his car.
Oh, okay.
So I thought it was a twist on that story.
It's like, that's...
He shoved them up there?
Here's the...
All pink?
All pink. $2,300 worth of apparel from a Vicky's Secret store in a mall. It was stolen. He comes back out. 2 days later, or 3 days later, the same man is arrested at another store, and he still has all the stuff in his trunk.
Oh, I made that mistake once.
If you're going to steal and be stupid about it, at least move the stuff out of your trunk.
I made that mistake as a misspent youth.
Yeah.
Where I had some...
contraband?
Ill-gotten goods that I didn't remove from my trunk. I figured I was going to drink it slowly. I mean, I didn't remove it.
I did the same thing.
And then the cops are like, why? And I was like, can I only remove that last night? But I was like, man, I'm really tired. I'll get it in a couple days. Yep. Womp, womp, blah, blah, blah.
My dad found one of the 6 that had dislodged from the other 5 rolling around in the trunk a week later.
Yeah, I had that too.
How don't know how they got tight.
I had some stash. I don't even know what I was thinking. On the bottom shelf in my room, and it was kind of tucked back.
No one will ever find it here.
The bottom shelf that you can only see if you were like in my bed, because it was like kind of tucked up underneath there. But if you're seeing, it was a clear shot there. And the door was on the same wall, so my dress never came in. If they did, it was whatever. My mom's taking a nap in my bed one day, randomly, because her room was being painted or something. And I come in, I was like, what's going on? She's like, oh, the room's being painted. I'm asleep. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll see you later. And she goes, hey, wait a minute. Son of a biscuit eater.
In Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, three people are facing disorderly conduct charges for doing the big nasty on a rooftop.
The roof is on fire.
Well, and here's the interesting thing. It was they actually listed the names in the story. I'll just get their first names because they've been through enough. Amanda is 24. Joel, it doesn't say how old he is. And Kevin is 26. So Amanda was tired.
Okay, that's just sick.
Right?
Two dudes and a chick. That is just sick.
Yeah. Don't they not know it's
two chicks and a dude? That'd be fine. Okay, good.
What do I do with my hands?
What do I do with my hands?
That is one of the questions that should be addressed before the entire day is planned.
Listen, what do I do with my hands?
Yeah.
Just, as long as Kevin did not look Joel directly in
the
eye,
then it's not gay. Then we know that. Gay. Here's the thing about it. Can you imagine you're like, oh my gosh, look at that. Three people having sex on the roof. This is great. Oh, it's two guys.
It's a bad combo.
That's not good. That's disgusting.
What's this funny is I remember waking up in Puerto Rico. I was staying at Airbnb, and the Airbnb was on the roof. And I'm stretching, looking up the window. And I was like, ho, ho, what is that? They were smacking like there was no tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh.
4 o'clock in the morning, and they're going right on the roof. And I'm like,
that looks uncomfortable.
Can you move the other way? My camera angle is really bad right now.
Zoom,
yes.
I just thought about it. Can you imagine, you know, there's a lot of gentlemen who have that menage a trois fantasy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And your significant other comes and goes, honey, I think I want to have a threesome.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Here we go.
So call up Kevin.
Whoa. I wanted Ashley, not Kevin.
Oh, that's disgusting, she said. That's horrible.
What if Ashley's transgender or Kevin's transgender?
Okay, you had to ruin the whole thing. Now you just got confusing for us.
Time for
now it's no longer
transgender update.
Oh.
Boy, that's getting better every day. So in Arkansas, in the Capitol building, one of the state senators, Linda Collins-Smith, is in the bathroom doing what you do in a bathroom, and her political opponent, comes into said women's bathroom, but her political opponent is a transgender.
Oh.
Again, I need a word going male to female, female to male.
Right.
What is it?
So,
it's a tranny.
She is now a woman?
Used to be a man.
Used to be a dude.
Okay.
Or identifies as a woman, because that's technically, anyway. So this transgender comes in and starts giving the where to the senator, and right there in the bathroom. And, of course, the senator has this security escort this transgender out because the senator was actually working on a bill that was passed last year that was basically their transgender bathroom bill. This is how confusing the whole damn thing is.
By the way, I tuned you out.
Yeah, I know.
I completely tuned you out. I'm trying to write notes because I need to keep up.
Uh-huh. So he was a dude. Now he's a woman.
Right.
He goes into the women's bathroom, confronts the woman. She has him kicked out of the bathroom.
I just say it's nice. No matter who wins the race, a woman has won. It's very nice.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's...
I can't take you seriously when you do that.
I know.
It just gets so confusing. And actually, we'll tweet out a picture of the latest bathroom signs coming up because they're getting...
Did I send you that?
You did. Yes, I like it.
It's pretty cool, right? Mm-hmm.
It is.
Talk about confusing.
Oh. They added an alien.
It was hard enough
picture.
When it was like Damas y Caballeros.
Yes.
Or then, am I a doe or a buck?
Or the male and female symbols. That confuses me. Which one are we? Are we the plus or
we're
arrow?
The arrow. No, we're the plus. I'm the arrow. You're the plus.
I'm the one formerly known as Prince. Scientists have discovered a new species of silver boa constrictor.
Just what we needed, more snakes.
Yeah.
He's in the Bahamas, and it's already endangered.
Oh, good, good.
How is that possible?
Hooray, we discovered you, but you're going to die.
You're going to die.
As soon as, it was exciting, the professor who discovered it said, as soon as we saw the first one, we knew we'd found something new.
Wait a minute. I see it. This is new. We've never seen this before.
Bo's like, what are you talking about? I've been here for years.
He said,
we're about to die.
And it was on a remote island. And the
where have you been? I'm dying.
The snake is going... Crap, I thought this was our island.
That's right. I only wanted a little privacy.
Yes.
What's that island that has like all the exotic animals? The Galapagos Islands?
What is that?
The Galapagos Islands?
Yes.
The Galapagos. Those are them. It's the Galapagos.
Yes.
The
you just missed a syllable, that's all.
There's one more syllable in it.
It wasn't there.
Try it again with adding the syllable.
Yeah.
What is it again?
Add the other syllable.
Galapagos?
Yeah, and add one more syllable now.
Nos?
Yes. Like add it to the whole thing, an extra syllable.
Galapagos?
That's the one, right there.
That's it. That's where they found the snake.
It's actually the G is a hard G. So it's like a J sound.
Oh, jalapenos.
And speaking of...
No, that's the H in...
So jalapenos.
That's the jalapenos islands.
Yeah.
That's the one. A lot of peppers
That's where they found it. Speaking of the perfect beaver shot...
Oh!
What? A photographer in France was trying to get the perfect... beaver shot. I mean, he laid on the bottom of a river for like 3 hours a night waiting for this beaver who swims underwater. And I mean, it's a beautiful... It's a stunning picture of a beaver.
How long did he wait for the perfect beaver shot?
Literally for weeks, 2 to 3 hours a night,
just
laying
there
on the bottom of the river with the, you know...
Did he get the beaver shot?
He got the beaver shot. It is a beautiful...
3 hours a night for weeks on end, you get the perfect beaver shot. Yes. I say that's a small price to
pay. It was absolutely a stunning, stunning beaver shot.
Can I see this beaver shot?
Yes, you may. Here it is right
Don't
here.
Google it, folks.
Is that not a beautiful beaver? Right up...
I mean, I've seen better.
Yeah. No, that's better. Razor sharp.
It's look too wet for me.
It's razor. I don't know. Well, it's underwater.
I think it's stunning.
I don't know. You know, we'll tweet out a picture of it. Don't Google it yourself.
Yes. No.
Please. Let us do the hard work.
Let us do the difficult
work.
Yes. Fine.
Yeah. Let's see. You know, really, where do we go for? Oh, wait a minute. In Disney World, I think they did this
for
you. Mm-hmm. Disney World temporarily stopped the monorail after a piece fell off.
Okay, this was last week, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I think this was when we were there. We were trying to go from one park to the other where you have a monorail.
Yes.
And Cubby was wanting to ride the train because one of the parks you have to go on bus.
Right. Yes.
And I'm like, okay, when we go from that park to the next park, mm-hmm. then we'll be able to ride the monorail. We're there and they're like, oh, it's closed down. And I was like, is it inclement weather? What? And then I saw some of the other ones were running. I think it's when we were there.
Yeah. Chunk fell off, landed approximately 10 feet away from a park visitor. And people were heard saying, I wonder what that does. There are no unimportant parts. Don't pull that lever off. I'm just going to toss this out the window and see what happens.
How come I couldn't have been hit by it?
Right?
You know, Disney loves to put stuff like sweep it up. Here's sign here, sir.
Yeah.
Here's 10 years free tickets and $10,000.
I'm surprised this got out.
Because I mentioned Cubby fell, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we were on vacation, to go to the
restaurant.
And I'm like, why couldn't you have done that at Disney?
Yeah. Disney's really good at controlling their...
Are you sure that he didn't get hit on the back of the
Maybe
head?
Maybe it wasn't Disney.
Chunk? Did Mickey
That's what
hit
we should
him?
Have done. Honey, let's head out to the emergency room to Disneyland. Quickly.
Right now.
Right now. Get in the car. Cubby, lay here. Lay right here. My son! My son! The blood! The humanity! Listen, the mouse is paying for your college, Cubby. Lay here. You'll thank me in 20 years. Quick break, back with more on this, The Morning Blaze.
The next generation of talk radio.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
What you're looking at.
Is that the one you're talking about? This one?
Oh, no, nope.
I don't know what that is. I have to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Comment on that one.
We'll talk that one off air before.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll see it. That's going to be really funny. And I'm like, well, I wish I had one more minute of commercial there. I could have gotten to that. Darn it.
Can we get those 30 seconds biography back?
Tweets coming in. Hashtag what I learned today.
You got Handy Andy O. Galapagos No, there's no N in there. Anyways, where Chris Cruz is covered.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-8192. That's 800-600-8192. 800-600-8192.
The lick
lacta.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
No, there isn't an N, but it's, you know, that some letters are silent.
Okay.
There's right. also the opposite of that, where there isn't a letter, but we say it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so you're right to put the N in. You actually got it. So give me that again.
So Galapagos.
Yes.
Galapagos.
Very okay. close. Very okay. close.
Next
that.
To Grapeville. Chris Covfefe Beard said TMB, the only place that links endangered snakes, wet beavers on air and gets away with it. I don't understand.
They want the news.
It's the beautiful. I'm telling you, look at the picture.
You this know what? Dude did you tweet laid, it out?
Yes.
I'm pissed off at that scientist.
The Why? One that found the one in
yes.
the.
Yes. Because here's the thing.
The snake.
You remember my rule about snakes in my yard?
Yes.
I own a little bit of like.
Woods
behind my house, just a couple tree depth, right? Mm-hmm. And I've given the snakes that realm.
Right.
It's all yours, snakes. You can have it. I own it. I'm going to let you squat there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you that.
Very
but
kind.
You stay the hell off of the rest of the property. That's my rule. And some of them have violated this agreement we have.
They should be punished.
Here's a snake who's completely minding his own business.
In the middle of the ocean on an island. Yes.
Right. You got snakes around the world that are being tools,
yeah.
right? These are snakes that are like messing with you.
Yep.
See, the rattlesnake, they're like, hey, man, back off.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you all the warning out there.
Yep.
I'm going to go over here under this rock, this wood pile. Mm-hmm. I'll leave you alone. You leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are jackass snakes mm-hmm. that are out there, you know, poking people in the eye. This snake's minding his own business. And this scientist out there, hey, here's a snake. Got to find him.
I know.
This is a libertarian snake.
And it's a mild-mannered snake, they say. It's a very calm, mild-mannered snake.
Of course, so it doesn't have this?
No, it doesn't have that. It's a boa. And by the way, the professors fell asleep on the beach and found one crawling across him later that night.
So it was the second one?
Yeah, apparently so.
How rare could these be? Right. You find one and there's another one that's like wandered across you.
It's on an island. It's on an island. There's two. Maybe. Okay, so let's say there's 10 of them on the island. That's 10.
This is like discovering a McDonald's. I discovered a new fast food restaurant. What? Hey. It's right there. They're all over the place.
Hey, go down 5 miles. There's another one.
Everybody else on the island's like, dude, yeah, these things.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. What
it's
are you talking
infestation.
About?
They taste like
they're
chicken.
There's so many of them, we never even talk about them. Oh. Have you noticed all these people with, like, the endangered species? It is almost weekly that they come up with, hey, a new species of toad we never knew existed.
Mm-hmm. And it's endangered.
But they keep telling us about the endangered. You're finding stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I remember it was, like, a year ago, they found some along some riverbank in China, like a couple miles kind of secluded. They're like a whole new ecosystem with 14 new types of frogs, 32 new fish, 7 snakes, and 8 lizards. We never knew existed. They're all there.
And they taste like chicken.
I mean, things are going extinct. Yeah. How about leaving it alone?
Yeah. How about we just leave them there and let them do their thing?
Wow. New survey claims, and this is a New York Times survey, 39% of office workers say that while at work, they have
taken part
in a moment of self pleasure.
They watch Three's Company.
What's the percentage again?
39% of people claim.
So that's like what? 3 out of 10.
Yeah, a little over.
Okay.
So wait a second. There's 1, 2, and
then almost 4 out of 10.
I was counting 2.
Five of us.
My money's on Sarah.
But it said male, though.
No, people. Office workers, not just males.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sarah, do you got a minute to join us on the air?
She doesn't join you on the air. You think she's going to join you on this topic?
She's giving me the dirty look. So let's just add it up between our show and then Glenn's.
Oh, well, we already know.
That
30-something percent is all Jeffy.
He represents all 40%.
He's taking the whole 40%.
That's what
you're
he
skewing
does all
the
day.
Survey, Jeffy.
He tipped the scale the all the way.
Literally. And you also tipped the scale. Yeah. You tipped it both ways.
Keep the door shut.
Well, at least we got to the bottom of that around here. Count the office workers at work. Do you got 10 of them in your office? 4 of them, when they go on that coffee break?
Don't shake their hand.
Okay. What do I do with my hands?
Good Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Celebrity Chef Patrick talks business and food trends with Doc Thompson and the always hungry Morning Blaze crew.
Chef Patrick, how you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Doc. I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. I saw something that I figured you'd really be interested in. Amazon is buying Whole Foods. That's got to be a major, major impact in the restaurant and also food service, grocery store industry.
Yeah, you know, it's going to it's just a matter of time now before the Whole Foods home delivery meal kits start arriving via Amazon drone. I'm thinking any day now. So
That's got to hurt the Blue Aprons and all these other ones, cuz I think Blue Apron has an IPO this week or coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up. Yeah, it's this week or next week. But that would be the logical step. I mean, they're already one of, you know, Whole Foods being a huge distributor of you know, natural foods. That would be the next step, I'm sure. I'm not sure how that all came about. It was so quiet. I was very surprised by the whole possibility of them acquiring Whole Foods.
Well, what's interesting, too, is to see how these are all building up. It looks like there's going to be 3 or 4 companies that do everything. You've got Amazon that does everything from producing movies and video content, you know, sitcoms and whatever, to doing obviously selling all the products they've sold, but now potentially home food and prepared food.
I was going to say, probably the whole dinner cooked.
To kind of prevent that from happening, don't we?
Well, yeah, you would think in some regard. Obviously, these are not violations of the way the laws laid out there, but you know,
it's kind of bizarre how do you know, I'm always astounded, just because I go into so many different types of businesses, at how one company with one, you know, main office can manage so many individual business segments and be profitable.
Well, and what's, you know, interesting about that is when you know how many businesses can't manage one area successfully.
Well, that's you know, one of my main points whenever I go into a restaurant to consult is typically downscale, like make your menu more focused on what you're really good at and have fewer items. Most people have 30 or 40 or 50 items on their menu when you walk in. I try to get them down to 20 to 30 total, you know, maybe 6 in each category in each menu category. But it just seems like they're growing by leaps and bounds, and the spectrum of the breadth of their business is greater and greater each week. I don't know how they manage it all.
Well, if
million people apparently somewhere up at the top.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. I mean,
and a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
One of the big trends with younger generations is they don't cook as much and they rely more on prepared foods. They want good quality stuff, usually healthy or whatever. Not only is this going to be a trend when you and I go out to eat or look for stuff to be delivered to our home, we'll see more options like that, but this is also good for entrepreneurs to know.
Absolutely. You know, we spoke before about how people can get into this business, farmers markets, you know, so one step back, the younger generations, millennials especially, and generation, is it Z, I guess, they're very into experiential dining, right? They'd much rather pay more money for a great meal that they don't prepare so that it can be a social activity or some sort of experience. You're seeing that with cannabis and food and all sorts of other areas of the food service business. But yeah, so home delivery is one, but I think the prepared foods counters, like at Whole Foods, they're growing by leaps and bounds. It's actually the number one fastest growing segment of the grocery stores are prepared foods.
And you see it in some of these traditional brands like Kroger and places that they're going crazy because they see that's where the money is. And it's an added value for them. In addition to the groceries, hey, maybe I upsell you and you buy some sandwiches or something, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you know, and they used to have what they call, it was called the deli before. And now it's called the prepared foods counter because they have so much more than just deli meats and sandwiches. And I'm always kind of shocked, you know, having lived in the Bentonville area where Sam's and Walmart is located. I know that's kind of their home office territory. But when you walk into even a small Walmart neighborhood grocery store there at the variety of foods that they put in their prepared foods counter.
There's a lot.
And now that they have, oh, yeah, and then the pizzas made on site, which are actually pretty good for an $8 pizza. I was very surprised. but you know, they're really pushing in that market as well because they see that's the niche of the future, I think.
So I saw it's grilling season. A lot of people, you know, grill out and about. And I stumbled across a list that was put out, I think it was Bloomberg had it, of things you should never cook on the grill. And I'm like, all right, I'll check it out. And some of them were really odd. One of them was fillets, filet mignon. It's a piece of tenderloin. And I was like,
why wouldn't you?
And I was like, it's beef. And Patrick, I worked in restaurants growing up, and we would cook our tenderloins on a grill. I mean, it was a broiler where you had a top one as well, but it was still grilled. And their argument was, filet is a lean cut, so it doesn't get the same nice caramelization over the grill as many fatty cuts like ribeye. So essentially it fries out and cooks over the flame for the reason they said sear it in a cast iron pan first. I don't understand why. Is that just to seal in the juice?
Well, I don't know if it's to seal in the juice. The problem with a really lean cut of meat is the difference between just done and overdone is a matter of seconds, right? It can be 15 seconds to a minute. So I actually don't. I can cook a filet on the grill, and I do it all the time for people when I'm grilling out. But I prefer to sear it in a pan, what's called a hard sear on there. You get a really hot pan that's almost to the smoke point. The oil in the pan starts to smoke a little bit. Sear one side for, you know, 2 to 3 minutes, and then flip it, and then put the whole pan in the oven. It's a much gentler way to cook the meat. It cooks it more slowly and more evenly on top and bottom so it doesn't dry out. You know, you ever get a filet that's like charred on the outside and raw in the middle?
Which is what I hate.
And that's one of the hard things about cooking on the grill is if you want to cook it on the grill, get a really hard sear on it, flip it, and then move it to a cooler part of the grill.
Is there an advantage other than presentation of having a filet the size it is rather than butterfly it or just cut it in half and do two thinner pieces of meat? What is the advantage to that? Because it's so hard for most people to cook consistently from the outside to the inside.
There isn't one. Presentation is good. You know, they do medallions of tenderloin. It's the same cut as a filet. It cooks in a third of the time. And I think you get a better product.
See, that's what
you're
I think.
Not trying to cook a 3 or 4 inch tall, you know,
slab of meat, right.
And keep it tender on the outside and still done enough in the middle to be palatable. I do it, and I just cut them cut them smaller. And then you get someone who wants a well done filet, like a 12-ounce well done filet.
By the way, I wanted to thank you for your advice last week. You talked about turning stuff only once on the grill, which I've always I'm a serial turner. I keep turning stuff, but I did shish kebabs with pineapple and sausage. I only turned them once.
Okay.
And they turned out perfect.
Here's the thing I just saw, Patrick, too. One of the other things on the list you shouldn't do on the grill, which I have done, is shish kebabs. And their argument is, and I looked at them like, why? Because the protein cooks different temperature and time than the vegetables. So one is going to be overdone or underdone. And that makes sense.
It worked.
Yeah, you know, I think as long as the vegetables and the cut of meat are similar in size, right, as in the diameter, then you're probably okay. And plus, if you're cooking onion and red bell peppers or whatever, the typical items you're going to put on a shish kebab with the protein, it shouldn't be a problem. I mean, it's going to get a little char on it, a little more than the meat does, but isn't that kind of why you put it on the grill anyway?
Yeah. Well, and what I'll do is I'll try to do the vegetables a little bit thicker, or I'll fold the bell pepper over so it's a little more, so you got some thickness to
some meat.
And the meat then a little bit thinner. Pat, if you do shish kebabs like that, do you marinate them first? Because I do a Greek dressing marinade that usually comes pretty good, and then I season it up when they're grilling.
Yeah, no, I like to marinate things. The thing with that is make sure you drain them off really well
Okay.
before you put them on the grill because of the flare-up. And then I like to cook stuff, especially shish kebab. They're smaller pieces, so you don't need to cook them over like a really high direct flame. Lower the temperature a bit, and then, you know, over like a medium or medium low, and then cook them more slowly. That way you're not charring the outside, and again, having, you know, I love to do swordfish on a kebab, as we used to say in New York, where I was born, is really, really, really good. But if you char the outside, it's so tough you can't eat it.
You know the hardest part about doing stuff, anything on a skewer, is turning it without it spinning.
Oh, yeah.
Someone needs to invent the thing that makes all of it stay together. I guess maybe just a double skewer.
It's called the sock stuffer.
Ah, yes. And then you can put your shoes on.
Exactly, exactly. Patrick, one of the other things they said you shouldn't grill is burgers. Uh-huh. I was like, okay, that's probably the number one thing grilled. Their argument was that grilling them allows the fat to render off the meat to be lost instead of helping it to create the caramelization on the crust. So what happens is the stuff on the bottom of the burger is dripping down through the grates. Mm-hmm. The stuff on the top comes to the top, and then you just flip it off, and it...
Who said this?
This list on seven things you shouldn't grill.
So somewhere there was a meeting, and they said, let's put hamburgers on the list, too, and just
how about
see
hot dogs?
And see how many people notice.
I mean, it makes sense, right? But come on.
Yeah, I think from a technical standpoint, if you're a burger gourmet and you're going to go around and grade a burger based on, you know, the top 12 factors, that may play a role. But part of the, again, you kind of want that char on the outside, just a little bit of it to add, so you're grilling out and it's summertime.
And if you do still want to grill like that and get what they're talking about, put a piece of tin foil down. Right? Aluminum foil.
Or just put,
not tin foil, aluminum
yeah,
foil.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good way to do it anyway, so the things don't fall through the when it sticks and you can't get it you can't get it loose from the grill. I have to be careful what I say because Twitter goes crazy.
Yes.
You know,
I know.
Innuendos.
No such thing as bad publicity.
That's right.
Spell your name right.
And when you go to flip it, you know, it'll stick. One part of it will stick, and then part of your hamburger falls to the grill. That's the part where I always cry. That's the first time I cry.
Oh, I dig down into the ashes and pull the meat right back out.
Patrick, one of the times I put foil down is when I'm doing burgers. My mother-in-law, and you know she's Korean, does a bulgogi burger, basically. So the seasoning that goes in bulgogi, which is it's sweet, but it also has Korean spices and whatever. Right. She'll do that. Mm-hmm.
A little kofefe in there, right?
Kofefe goes on top after, but it's
and
yeah,
poodle.
It's for, and poodle. But she does that, so she seasons the meat like that, but it's there's a lot of liquid to it, and we put the foil down, and then if you cook it real well, that stuff kind of caramelizes, so you've got a coating on the burger. It's almost better than bulgogi. It's the cheaper cut of meat because it's ground beef, but it's so good.
Now I'm just craving bulgogi.
Yeah, see, who doesn't?
I woke up this morning.
Have you ever had the bulgogi?
I don't know. I don't think so.
You'll like it. Get the bulgogi bowl at the local Korean place. You'll love it.
We're going to go down there today or tomorrow. You're welcome to join us.
All right.
Sounds good.
So do you ever do any seafood on the grill, Doc?
Once in a while.
You know, people are always afraid to cook like mussels or clams or oysters. You want to get a shuck oysters. They're a pain. But I'll tell you what, you just throw the whole oyster without shucking it on the grill, and when it pops open, it's ready to eat.
That's really simple. You're right.
That would be when it does what?
Absolutely.
When it opens. That's how you know when clams and mussels and that, when they open.
Pop open.
After being cooked. If they're open before you cook them, that's bad.
Yes, don't eat them.
Yeah, that's garbage time. Yeah, but that makes it really easy. You don't have to mess with stabbing your hand with an oyster knife or anything like that. You just put all your shellfish on there. If you can buy like the huge cherry stone clams.
Yeah.
Just put them on the grill, and when they pop open, they're done. And you drizzle a little butter or olive oil, salt on there. I mean, they're perfect. And then crab legs. My ultimate favorite is crab legs.
Oh.
Yeah, that char. You cook them about 2 to 3 minutes on either side till they just start to get a little bit of brownness to them. Oh, that, you know, shrimp, you have to put foil down if you're going to do shrimp. But I cook almost my entire meal. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tweet some recipes out.
Cool.
One is for grilled sweet potatoes.
Nice.
You cut them like giant french fries, but then there's a cherry salsa that goes on top of that.
Oh, and nice.
Yeah, the other one is a spice rubbed duck breast with a salad with some goat cheese in it. That's pretty good, too.
Okay, so you tweet out a link to it. It's at foodbizpro or foodbizpro.com for Patrick Mosier, and we'll tweet out links to it as well, Patrick. That sounds awesome. Thanks, buddy.
Very good stuff. Hey,
talk to you soon.
Back, Doc. Take care.
All right, this is The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network. Doc Thompson.
Sleeve did it, tweeting hashtag what I learned today. All this talk of grilling with at FoodBizPro is making me want to run out to the store and buy some meat.
Mm. Well, not just that. Right now, there's food being cooked for Glenn. So talking about grilling and the smell of food that we cannot have.
Right.
It's a bad day.
Stephen English tweeted, when grilling filet, wrap it in bacon and it won't dry out.
That's a good point because you got all the bacon fat in there.
Yeah. You can wrap anything in bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, you can.
Good stuff. Love it. Yeah, I love a lot of grilling stuff, and you just put the foil down for most of that stuff if you're worried about it, whatever.
Especially with onions, and they'll saute in that.
Seriously, you got to come out.
Like
in the
I
next,
know what I'm doing. I don't cook.
In the next day or so, if you want to go down and we'll grab some bulgogi, it's beef.
It's legal, right?
Yes. Okay. Well, now in parts of Texas. There's dry counties, you know, but you get it. It's thin sliced beef, but it's marinated in Korean spices with a little sugar and stuff in it too. And it's awesome. Then you put it with rice and whatever, but it's really good. All right, we have edited down the concessions piece from John Ossoff. Here it is. Ready?
This is the beginning of something much bigger, which has become the epicenter of politics. Darkness has crept across this planet, have provided a beacon of hope. You carried us on your shoulder. We can still build coalition. The most extraordinary experience I've ever had the honor of being a part of. It's extraordinary what you have done here. The fight goes on. Hope is still alive.
I'd like cliches for $500, please.
Sleeve did it, tweeting hashtag what I learned today and hashtag Ossoff t-shirt slogan, kept my ass off the 6th district. Yes, they did. Because you don't live there, and you're also not going to represent it. Hilarious. You stole fizzy lifting gas. You lose. Good day, sir.
Good day.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.